Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Said the father of a five-year-old. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ian. We will talk to you coming up here on WWL. Right now, we got to shift gears, and I want to let you know, if you have any questions about your financial well-being, if you have any questions about your credit report, about your credit score, and how to improve it, how to fix it, what it means, and what to do with it, this is a rare opportunity you have to get those questions answered. Jump on the line right now at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, and you're going to want to talk to John Alzheimer, a credit expert formerly of FICO and Equifax, who we bring on periodically because there's such demand for people wanting to know, what do these three numbers tell a lender or a credit card company or a bank or anybody else about me when I want to borrow money, get a card, or apply for credit? And how do they use it and how can I fix it? John, always a pleasure to have you here on WWL.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, as always, for having me.
Right now, with interest rates as stupid high as they are, it's more important than ever, isn't it, that we know our credit score and we know how to improve it so that instead of paying 32.99%, we can be more paying 9.99% on our credit cards.
Yeah, and it's I watch the financial shows from time to time, and they always kind of laser focus on the Fed funds rate and what is the Fed going to do? And you know, speculatively that if the Fed lowers interest rates and all of a sudden magically the interest rates we pay on everything from mortgages, auto loans, credit cards are all of a sudden going to drop to what they were kind of in the wake of COVID when they were really low. If you look at, or if you talk to any bank kind of off the record and ask them, what exactly is the recipe for how you guys figure the interest rates that you're going to offer the applicants who come to you and apply for loans and credit cards? And they're going to say this, that, and the other, but what they're really going to focus on primarily is the quality of your credit. So if you have a fantastic credit report and a solid FICO score or a solid set of FICO scores, then even though the interest rates are fairly high, historically speaking, you're at least going to get the best deal that they have to offer. If you have average to below average FICO scores and lousy credit reports, then the interest rates that you're looking at today and saying, oh my gosh, those interest rates are so high, you're not even going to get those. You're going to get the interest rates that are considerably higher. Mortgages in the 8 to 9% range, auto loans in the 20s, which is just crazy. So I get it. Fed funds rate, super important. But what's really important is the quality of your credit.
Yeah, your credit score is far more important when it comes to your personal financial well-being than is whatever rate the Fed is setting, right?
Agreed. That's exactly right. Because you can't control the Fed, right? You can sit there and drive yourself crazy about what the Fed's going to do in December and 25 basis points, this, that, and the other. But what you can control is whether or not you're going to make your payments on time, how much credit card debt you're going to get into, how often are you going to apply for credit, and at the very least, control what it is that you can control, which is still the most important component of risk assessment by a bank or any other creditor.
And generally speaking, you want to get a 760 or higher to get those best rates, right? You want your credit score to be 760 or higher, is what I've always understood.
You're right. That's exactly right. Whoever told you that is correct. Maybe I told you that or someone that on a prior appearance on the network. So if you look at the average interest rates by FICO score, the best average interest rates for a mortgage loan are going to be for people who have 760s and above. For the best interest rate for auto loans are 720 and above. So what I always tell people is, look, if you're kind of going through this credit score journey and you're trying to improve your credit score or maintain an already good credit score, 760 and above is kind of a sweet spot. You're not going to get anything better at 800 that you're going to get at 760, and you're certainly not going to get anything better at 850 than you would have gotten at 800. Once you kind of hit the 760 and above range, the lender views you as being almost completely void of credit risk, from at least from your previous payments and those types of practices. So if you can get yourself into that 760 and above range, maybe even 780, just to give yourself a little wiggle room for those months that you do charge a lot of balance on your credit cards, then you're really going to set yourself up to where you don't really need to worry about anything else. And then lather, rinse, repeat, and do that over and over and over again, year after year after year. And then you're never going to have to worry about your FICO scores, because they're going to be so darn good that lenders are going to be fighting over your business.
Yeah, and then the only downside to that is that if you do take a loan, sometimes that loan may get sold a couple of times because you are such a desirable lender, such a desirable borrower, that lenders will continue to fight over you even after you take out a loan.
Yeah, well, I mean, the alternative is all of those lenders who have gigantic signs on the marquee as you're driving around the highways and going through downtown, they're not going to want to have anything to do with you, and you're going to get stuck with what I call kind of secondary or tertiary types of lending options: your payday loans, your asset lenders, your finance company lenders, folks who kind of target and serve the high risk community, where things like double digit interest rates are the norm rather than the exception. So again, control what you can control. And if you've got credit scores that are really, really good, then really you have an inventory of lenders that are the kind of a who's who among creditors, versus, you know, Joe's Financial and XYZ Pawn Shop and so-and-so's asset borrower, where you can, like, you know, bring in your jewelry and borrow against some sort of an asset, which is just insane. Because if you annualize the interest rates on those, then you're really paying kind of like Tony Soprano type of interest rate.
All right. So we've established that you really want a 760 or above, 780, just in case there's, you know, some discrepancy or, you know, things do go up and down. So let's talk first about, because I want to tell people, how do you get there? But first of all, how do you even know what your credit score really is? You see commercials for people who offer to tell you your credit score. You get credit card statements that have what claims to be your credit score on them, on your monthly credit card statements, whether you receive those paper or email. Are those accurate? How do I really know my current credit score?
Yeah, so here's... You have dozens of credit scores, all, and if you look at the FICO branded scores alone, dozens of them. And the likelihood that one three-digit number that Wells Fargo is going to pull is going to be the same as the three-digit number that Amex or Chase or Citi or Santander is very, very low, okay? Because they use different variations and different generations, and they all fall under the same brand of FICO. It's almost like walking down the cereal aisle at the grocery store. They're all cereals, but they're not the same, okay? So what I always tell consumers is, directionally speaking, your credit score should all say the same thing about you, whether you're low risk, moderate risk, or high risk. You should never have an 800 at one credit bureau and a 580 at another credit bureau, because that's just wildly different, the story those two numbers are telling. So you're right. There are a lot of credit card issuers and other types of lenders who have partnerships with FICO, where FICO is actually allowing them to now give away your FICO score on either their app, the paper printed statement, or the online statement. And as long as you see that word FICO either in the fine print or overtly next to the three-digit number, then you know you're getting the FICO branded score. There's another score that's commonly used in the world of consumer lending in the U.S. It's your VantageScore credit score, which is a product of the three credit bureaus. They kind of banded together and built that score 19 years ago. And it's widely used. So if you see VantageScore, then you'll know that you're getting that particular brand of score. They're both 300 to 850. So again, if you've got good credit, they should all say good things about you. If you've got lousy credit, unfortunately, they're all going to say bad things about you. But you should never, ever pay for a credit score. There are so many places today where you can get them for free that buying a credit score, which was, you know, common 20 years ago, today there are so many places that are willing to give it to you as long as you either sign up as a registered user of some website or if you're actively a customer of some creditor, that you don't have to go and spend money to buy that information.
Any in specific a couple that you can suggest that people may, if they don't know how to find their credit score, go to find it out?
Yeah, so if you have an Amex or a USAA or a Capital One or a Chase or a Discover, if you have any of those credit cards, or USAA obviously is an insurance company, but they're also a creditor, then if you log into your account once a month, you can see your FICO score or another one of your credit scores. And it's the same score that they use for the periodic management of your account. And so they're now being allowed to give that away to their customers. And so Discover's it was kind of the first to do this many years ago. So I always kind of pivot to either Discover. Amex is a really good one. Cap One has one. Chase has one. And they're all free as long as you have active accounts with those creditors. There are some websites. And again, I don't have relationships with any of these websites. And so I'm not trying to, you know, push one over the other. But I'm quite certain that your listeners have seen television commercials for either Experian or Credit Karma. And Experian, which is obviously one of the three credit bureaus, will give you your FICO score as long as you go through their Experian.com website. Again, you don't have to buy it. Credit Karma will give you your VantageScore credit score on your TransUnion and Equifax credit reports very frequently. And all you have to do is become a registered user of that website and just kind of ignore some marketing emails from time to time. But you get tons of this information, and you can sift through it at your leisure, and you never have to pay for any of it because it's all free.
We're talking with John Alzheimer, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. He's available to answer your questions at 504-260-1870. On the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line, text him in and call him in now. When we come back, we've established how you find out what your three-digit credit score is. And if it's below 760, how do you bring it up? What are the most effective ways to raise your credit score that don't take years and years and years to move that number? We'll find out what John has to say about that after this on WWL. And some Lanyap, Dave, today. Yeah, I'm in for Tommy Tucker. Normally on from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'm with you till 10 o'clock today, tomorrow and Wednesday. Looking forward to spending some time with you. Glad we're spending time with John Alzheimer. He's an expert on your credit score, your credit rating, and all things related. John, before the break, we were talking about how we know our credit score. All right, so once we get that three-digit number, we know what it is. We want it to get above 760. If it's not, what are the simplest things someone can do to start to increase their credit score?
Yeah, and so the path to a low credit score is different for everybody, and therefore the path to score improvement is going to be different for everybody. But generally speaking, let's put people in two different buckets. Let's put people in the bucket of really bad credit scores, and so they're hundreds of points away from the target that we talked about earlier. And then people who are, you know, 50-ish points, 20 to 50. So they've got decent credit, but there's some scratches and bruises that they need to deal with.
They're above 700, but they want to get to that 760.
That's right. They're like itching for the 760. And so generally speaking, people who are close to having a decent to excellent credit score are there because of credit card debt. There is a metric in all general use credit scoring systems, regardless of who built it, called the balance to limit ratio or revolving utilization. In English, what it means, it's the relationship between your credit card balances and your credit limits as expressed as a percentage. And so if you have a credit card with a $10,000 limit and a $5,000 balance, you're 50%, quote unquote, utilized. That percentage is very, very influential to your credit score, enough to the point where you can actually, believe it or not, get this, you can actually have credit scores in the 600s and never have missed a payment. And simply because you have heavily leveraged credit cards, because they tell a story about your credit risk, and your credit score punishes you accordingly versus someone else who may have scores in the 600 because they miss payments all the time. So again, two different types of consumers, same credit scores. And so you're going to want to attack, and this is generally good advice for anybody, you're going to want to attack those balances on credit cards and get them as low as possible relative to your credit limits. Now, there's a couple of games you can play here, okay? Obviously, this is just a ratio, one number compared to another number. And so if you can lower your balances, that's great. If you can lower your balances and increase your credit limits without charging more, then that's also great. If you open a new credit card account and leave it unused, then you have all that available credit with no balance, that's great. So again, there's multiple ways to skin that cat, not necessarily writing a massive check and paying down the balance, even though that would be the best way because credit card debt, as you pointed out earlier, is very, very expensive, usually in the high 20s, even if you have really solid credit. So that's the first way, is to get that credit card debt down. Now let's talk about the second group of consumers who have low credit scores because they've gone through some sort of credit-related.
Wait, before we move on, though, real quick, pay off high balances first and chip away at those, or eliminate low balances first?
Yeah, so there's different schools of thought. Here's my perspective. I like the paying off lower balances first for two reasons. Number one, it eliminates an account with a balance, which is good for your credit scores, and it also lowers that ratio, which is, again, good for your scores. And so if you have a few $1,000 and a few what I call credit cards with nuisance balances, like the retail store cards that the balances are usually pretty low, or maybe your gasoline credit cards where your balances are pretty low, boom, 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 knock those out. You're going to eliminate accounts that have balance. You're going to lower that ratio that we talked about earlier. So you're actually kind of getting double value out of paying off the card. Some people will say, no, 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 you're an idiot. Pay off the card that has the highest interest rate because then you're saving money on interest. That person is correct as well, but you're not eliminating that balance. And so
you might save a little money, but you won't help your credit score as much.
That's exactly right. And then you can immediately pivot towards paying down the higher interest rate credit cards, which is kind of like all of them. And then you're really accomplishing all of your goals. So that, look, the credit, it's not, and I've so many people over the years that have been like, hey man, I paid off my truck loan and my score didn't go up, or I paid off my mortgage and my score didn't go up.
Those are secured debt. Yeah.
It's secured debt, right? Meaning that there's an asset that's securing the loan. People don't want to lose their cars. They don't want to lose their homes. So they'll bend over backwards to pay for those things. But when it comes to credit cards, that is unsecured debt. It's a higher risk debt. And that's what we see when we build credit scoring systems, is that people who even have modest amounts of credit card debt, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, if they're getting too close to those limits, that tells a tremendous story about their risk. You can have over $1 million of installment debt, student loans, boat loans, car loans, mortgages, and have elite, and I'm talking well into the 800s, elite credit scores because it's low risk debt.
Gotcha. All right. So now for those people who are not in the 700 range looking to get to that magical 760, people who have 500-something, 600-something or lower, what is your advice to them to start that journey toward better credit?
Yeah, so if we're talking about the FICO 500, we're talking about people who have negative information on their credit reports, and I'm not talking about credit card debt. I'm talking about late payments, defaults, charged off accounts, collections, foreclosures, repossessions. So anything that you can kind of reasonably call negative or representative of a non-performing consumer, that's going to be the
financial mismanagement. Yes.
Financial mismanagement is that's the kind of stuff that you, and look, it doesn't take a credit expert to tell you this, but that's the kind of stuff that trashes your credit scores. There is a set period of time where that information can legally be maintained by the credit bureaus at the federal level. So it doesn't matter whether you're a Louisiana resident or a resident of any other state. And that, unfortunately, is going to be 7 years for the negative information and 10 years for Chapter 7 bankruptcies. So the journey to a better credit score for people who have that kind of stuff is going to take longer because the law allows the record of that to remain much longer. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have low credit scores the entire period of time that stuff is on your credit reports. Your scores are going to improve organically simply because that stuff is getting older. And if you don't keep doing it, meaning you don't keep populating your credit report with new late payments, new defaults, new collections, and if you let the other stuff age, you would be shocked how much your credit score will improve in 24 months, for example, simply by doing nothing but putting time between yourself and the event. And it's not unusual to see consumers who have credit score. And I'm not talking 850. I'm talking about respectable credit scores in the mid to high 600s, simply because they put a couple of years between themselves and a few defaults or a few collections. They've tried to pay them down. Maybe they've even settled them. And so those are the types of consumers who have a longer journey, a rougher path. And as long as they, you know, kind of commit to changing how they manage credit, then the credit scoring system tends to be fairly forgiving in that respect. And your score will improve, start to improve fairly quickly.
We're talking with John Alzheimer, an expert on credit. When we come back, we're going to let you ask your questions. Bob and Metairie, you'll be our first call we take. We also have texts wanting to know about bankruptcy versus settling with the credit card companies, which is better long-term for your credit score, and more questions coming up for John Alzheimer. If you have one, call us or text us now on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. Bob and Metairie is up after this check on WWL traffic. Talking with John Alzheimer, our credit expert. Bob and Metairie, thanks. You're on with John and Dave Cohen. How you doing, Bob?
Thank you for taking my call. Real quick story. I have a credit score of about 830, okay, and I try and keep it that.
Congratulations.
Now, thank you. I'm trying to understand why, like this year, I bought a chair for $3,600. Okay, and they offer me a 12-month interest-free, which I usually take, and the credit score drops down to like 812. Why does that happen? I'm not making late payments, you know, blah, blah, blah. What's the reason for that in the credit score system?
So, first off, congratulations on your 830. You're like in the top 2% nationally, so I wouldn't lose too much sleep while you're enjoying that chair.
In that chair.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Normally, in-store financing, which is fine, no one's being critical of that. In-store financing shows up on the credit report as a revolving account, and sometimes, I'm not sure what your creditor has done, but sometimes it shows up as either a completely maxed out short-term line of credit or a line of credit that's got a fairly large balance, which I think you said 3,000 for the chair. So, and if you were listening to the show a little bit earlier, you heard us talking about that balance to limit ratio and how that is so influential. So
right.
my guess, without seeing your actual credit reports, is that and you can look at your own credit report to see how this is being represented. My guess is that whoever the creditor is has reported that to the credit bureaus, and it's showing up as a fairly leveraged line of credit, and your score went down as a result. Now, again, you don't need to, you know, call in the National Guard here. An 812 is still a pretty darn good score. My guess is that most of the people listening are yelling at the radio right now saying, you know, I wish I was 812. So
yeah, Bob.
And as you pay down the chair, and eventually when you pay off the chair, your score will improve.
That's what I did. I went ahead, and when I saw my score, I went ahead and paid off the balance, and like 2 months later, I'm back to 830. But I just
there
don't think
go.
That should have that much of an effect on somebody's credit. And I've talked to other people, and they agree. I think the system is flawed. I mean, if you have late payments or whatever, I think that would affect it, but not somebody just going out and spending a little bit more money, and then your credit score drops. I'll tell you this, though. When I go shopping for a car, I tell the car salesman right away, listen, I have a repossession and late payments, all this, and you see how they sink, and then they find out that I have a good credit. It makes a difference in the world.
Bob's got jokes. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it. Again, congratulations on that. And as you heard earlier, as long as you're above 760, Bob, you're in the golden land, and it's great to have an 830, but you're not going to really experience a whole lot difference than someone who's got above 760. We're getting some texts coming in, John. I'm going to read some of them for you. One says, I'm 69 years old, never in my life had a late payment. Same with my husband. We charge approximately $6,000 to $100,000 a month on one credit card and pay it entirely off every month. We have no other debt, and we own our home that's paid off. Still can't get that score above an 820, and it's even lower at dealerships for cars. What do you have to say to this person?
Are you sure that's not a typo? 6,000 to 100,000, or maybe it was 6,000 to 10,000 a month.
Maybe that's what they meant, but they put 6,000 to 100,000. Either way,
that's like
they're charging
$2 million. That's a hell of a large. Anyway, so this one is a little bit easier than the chair question. If you're charging 6,000 to whatever thousand, something much larger than 6,000 every single month, but even though you're paying it in full every month. If you don't pay it, and Tommy and I have had this kind of ethical credit score hack discussion many times on the air over the years, is if you're allowing that balance to show up on your statement at the end of the month, and then you've got that 21-day grace period to pay it, then that ratio, right? We keep talking about the ratio. That ratio is going to be fairly high, and depending on how large that balance is, it's going to be even higher, which is why you're kind of capping out at an already elite credit score of 820. If you want to try a little experiment for me next month, go ahead and do your normal charging. I'm not saying don't do your charging. Do whatever charging it is that you do. But if you're going to pay it in full anyways, pay it in full before the statement closes, which means
in 20 days.
Well, no, that's no, you're not even going to have – you're not going to need the grace period because you're going to pay it off before you even get the statement.
Right. Before they even close the month report.
That's right. So the net of your activity is going to include all of your charges and then all of your payment or one payment, which is going to net your balance to zero or something darn close to zero, which means that ratio we keep talking about is going to be at or near zero. And then your 820 may magically become something higher than an 820, you're foregoing the 21-day grace period, and that may be important to you. But the trade-off is that 820 is going to be something a little bit higher than 820. Again, you're not going to get anything better because anything above 760-ish, and you're kind of in the golden zone. So, but that's generally the answer to the question, especially for people who have large average balances on their cards every month, and then allow it to go to the credit report, which happens after your statement is cut.
So look at your statement, see what the closing date is on that statement each month, and pay it before the closing
before
date.
Before that date. That's exactly
all
right.
All right. Somebody else texts in and says, I'm in the 800s. The wife is at zero or no rating. Obviously, she can't be at zero. Mm-hmm. 200 is the lowest. What's up with that? They want to know.
So have you? I don't know if you've noticed anything, but the first three questions we've got are for people who have scores over 800.
Yeah, well, we've got great listeners.
You've got great listeners who are obsessed with getting an 850. So you're going to have to re-ask some of the questions. So you're not guaranteed a credit score just because you're alive and you're over 18. So your credit report has to meet certain minimum criteria in order for the FICO scoring system to actually calculate a score. There are well over 300 million people in this country, but only about 200 million, 220-ish, have credit reports.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And even fewer than that have credit scores. So there's a fairly large percent of the population that doesn't have a credit report, and some part of the population that doesn't have a credit score, even though they have a credit report. It sounds like your wife, her credit reports have not met that minimum criteria. So here it is. And then if she meets it eventually, then she'll end up with a credit score of something. You've got to have at least one account that's at least 6 months old, one account that's been updated in the last 6 months, and the same account can qualify for both. And you
in
can't
her name any, only?
No, it doesn't matter. If it's on the credit report, then it's fine. So it could be a joint account, or it can be in her name only. Okay. And you can't have any sort of deceased indicator on the credit report. That'll kick it out of any, of any scoring. And so if
deceased indicator, meaning it can't say you're a dead person.
No, that's right. And you'd be surprised how often that occurs, especially if you've got a joint liability with someone who's passed away and the creditor reports to the credit bureaus as being associated with the deceased person. So FICO scoring systems won't score anybody who has a deceased indicator on their credit. Obviously,
you can be alive and well, but you may be reported as deceased because of that association.
That's exactly right. So,
got it.
And I'm not saying that's her problem. It doesn't sound like it's her problem. It sounds like she just doesn't have an active credit report. Nothing's been updated for a while, or nothing is older than 6 months. And that's generally the issue. That's normally when I have that discussion, it's with someone who's like 20. And they just haven't really entered the credit reporting world or the credit world with any, you know, they may have a student loan that's been sitting there as being in deferment, but that's about it. And their credit reports don't qualify for scores. Normally, that's not a conversation I'm having with someone. I think you said in their, you know, an older person, and certainly someone who is in their 30s or older should have some record of credit reports sufficient enough to qualify them for a score. So I would double check the credit reports, which you can do at no cost, of course, and just make sure that number one, there isn't something on there that you're not, you weren't aware of. And number two, if you're choosing to not participate in the credit environment, that's fine. That's your choice, but you're not going to have a credit score.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to do a lightning round with John and ask some very quick questions and hopefully get the quickest possible answers so we can get as many questions answered as possible. One person wants to know about the impact of medical debt. Somebody else wants to know about IRS liens. And someone wants to know, is it true that you can pay someone to fix your credit report? John will answer those questions and more after this on WWL. Talking with credit expert John Alzheimer. See if we can get some quick answers to some quick questions here. John, someone wants to know, what can you do about medical debt that has been turned over to collections, short of paying it off, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to look, if you owe it, you should pay it or settle it. The good news is if it's below $500, then it can't be reported to the credit bureaus. But generally speaking, if you do owe it, it's obviously going to follow you around. And even if it's not on your credit report, they can sue you to collect it. So it's a good idea to try to pay it or settle it.
Someone wants to know, what if I have an IRS tax lien? Does that hurt my credit?
So IRS tax liens are no longer on credit reports, just like civil judgments are no longer on credit reports. They haven't been on credit reports since 2018. That doesn't mean they don't exist. If you have an IRS tax lien again, you got to pay it, or you got to try to settle it and have it released because it causes other problems having nothing to do with your credit reports.
Is it true you can pay someone to fix your credit score or remove bad reporting? Someone wants to know.
No. You can pay them to file disputes for you, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be any more effective than you filing your own disputes. So you're referring to credit repair. Again, if you want to pay someone to dispute information for you, then go for it. But their letters aren't any more effective than whatever letters you may be writing.
Somebody else wants to know, why does my credit score take a hit when an agency or company pulls my credit report?
That's called a hard inquiry, which means that your credit report has been accessed. And the answer to all these why questions is because when the credit scores are being developed, the credit scoring companies like FICO look for information that has a correlation with elevated risk, which is why everything that lowers your credit score lowers your credit score. And having too many hard inquiries indicates elevated risk, which is why your scores can be lower because of it.
Yeah, I think this is the last one we have time for. Never enough time. If my son or daughter piggybacks on my credit card, can they register on the credit card site and see their own credit score?
They can. The credit card. No, it's only going to be the credit score that is used for the primary cardholder. While the account may show up on their credit report, the score that they're going to see, or that the parent is going to see on the app or on the website, is going to be the actual cardholder's credit score.
John, thank you so much. We never have enough time, and the questions always come in late, but we appreciate your expertise. Have a very happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a great new year.
Thank you. Same to you and yours.
We got to check in with Newell Norman to see what he's got ahead for the next 3 hours now. Morning, Newell.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Ah, man, loving the fact that it's not raining. What you got coming up?
Absolutely. We got Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about this massive fraud event in Minneapolis, over 77 people already indicted. We'll talk about the explosive growth and the problems with SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps. Charitable giving in 2026, changes there. Congress tilts the table away from the wealthy and towards smaller donors. Boeing versus Airbus and more. Jeff Nowak, relative to the Saints. Sandra Herman, president and CEO of Celebrate Canal Coalition. Jessica Brandt and Lou Fragoso with the Lou is the president and CEO of Manning Families Children's. We'll talk about the light up the night radiothon results, Dave.
Ah, how much money we raised. We find out today. Yes.
We find out today. And
I know our listeners gave a whole lot, so that was good.
Absolutely, and we will have a little monologue to start off this morning.
Look forward to your monologue and or rant, as we call it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.